The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Welcome on in to the Brad Sessmatt Show. I'm Jordan Hamm. Have a great show for you. Got a lot to get to. We're talking some Diamondbacks. We're going to be talking some of the NBA playoffs. A lot going on. We're also going to hear from Canyon Floyd, one of the latest ASU commits. He's actually a special teamer and quite the talented punter. So going to chat with him here in the next segment. So a lot to get to. Let's jump right into it. Our rundown brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you and taking care of your business. Now let's get to business. Arizona Diamondbacks continuing to really just take care of business. They got the win, the series win against the Pittsburgh Pirates, had a rare rough game for Zach Gallen. They were entering that start that he had on Saturday, 7-2 when he started, and just didn't have it. And, you know, this is one of those things that happens. Pirates are a good team. They're struggling right now, but they are a good team. But the way that this team's able to bounce back and just, like I said, take care of business. You saw Merrill Kelly have a fine start, five innings. You know, he was really, really good for the first 4 1/3. Didn't give up a hit. And then, you know, just kind of got hit a little bit after that. Got to the fifth inning. And again, credit the bullpen, just taking care of doing what they need to do. Just a stark contrast from last year and all of the struggles that part of the team had. So good on the bullpen. And you're seeing Christian Walker. I feel like one of the more underappreciated players in the league. And I think part of it is he was taking over for Paul Goldschmidt, and obviously massive shoes to fill. He's very quietly been a very good defensive first baseman, had some really good power numbers. The hit for average could have been a little bit better last year. It's starting to creep up now, but he has been just like steady Eddie out there. Every single game, being that presence, not getting too high, not getting too low. And that's going to be a key for this team as they continue to navigate what they're trying to accomplish. They are now 7 games over .500. If I were to tell you on May 22nd that they would be 7 games over .500, you know, pushing the Dodgers for the top of the league, or the top of the NL West, like, you would be thrilled about that. Like, what this team is doing is really impressive so far. And again, we talked on Thursday about moving on from Madison Bumgarner, having three young starting pitchers that have been solid, you know, not perfect, far from perfect. You can see all the potential that they have as they continue to be, you know, very early in their careers. But they're putting the team in a position to win, and that's all you can ask for. And usually, Gallen and Merrill can carry you a little bit. They didn't do that. Guess what? They still won. They still took 2 of 3 from the Pirates. Now they're going on to Philadelphia. Tommy Henry going up against Zach Wheeler today. And they're just going to continue to push and continue to push and continue to push. Now let's shift over to the NBA playoffs. Both teams, you know, the Nuggets and the Heat, 3-0 now in their respective conference finals games. And the Heat, this is, as we have like turned a page in the last couple of years, like turned the page of a really bad era of Suns basketball. And now you have the finals run. It feels like finals are bust with these next couple groups. I think an important part of this, and what I'm so interested in with this next head coach, because I felt like Monty, one of the reasons I would have kept him around is continuing that culture, continuing to build that culture. And, you know, we went into why he doesn't have the job he has anymore. And, you know, some of the shortcomings, but like, he was great at building a culture when there really wasn't a culture, and getting guys to buy in, getting Devin Booker to buy in, you know, adding key pieces to that culture. And you know, and it didn't necessarily equate to wins right away, but the Heat every single year, they are an 8 seed. They are a 4 seed. They're a 6 seed. Yet they always make these deep playoff runs. They can cycle out superstars and big time players. And yeah, like having Jimmy Butler, like obviously that's going to be a massive gain. But look at the box score. Like from this game, it was the main key contributors were like third and fourth in scoring. Like they have this culture that you can build it up. And I'm sure we've heard ad nauseum about Heat culture. And like, yes, it's a very precise puzzle, but as we're starting this new chapter with Matt Ishbia, whoever the head coach is going to be, James Jones, maybe in the short term, maybe in the long term. And James is another person that has really built up that culture as well. It's how do you get it where you're not a very high seed and it is a second round out for you? You know, how do you overachieve in that? Because the past couple of years, the Suns have underachieved when it got to playoff time, at least when it got to playoff time. So how are they able to do that? And easier said than done. Like, how do they find their Eric Spoelstra, who's going to be just a mainstay in the league, and, you know, have a Pat Riley type and have this and have that? Like, everyone is trying to achieve that in the NBA. But like, it was so evident that like the Heat had just broken the Celtics. You know, all the comments after the game about how the Celtics quit. And it wasn't because like the Celtics don't have a good culture. I think they have an on-court pretty darn good culture. But it just looks like the Heat absolutely broke them. And they're able to do it with whoever is going to be the big person stepping up on a given day. So going to be interesting to see how this ends up. It looks like collision course, Denver, Miami in the finals. For the casual fan, maybe that's not that interesting. I think that's a really interesting finals. And I'm very intrigued by that and how these teams take that next step. And, you know, for the Nuggets, you know, this would be their first NBA finals. How do they, you know, finish strong? Some position that the Suns were in not that long ago, you know, and for the Heat culture, who's going to step up? How can Jimmy Butler, you know, create this incredible legacy that he has in this postseason past couple postseasons? So going to be really fun. Now let's shift our focus over to ASU football. Two commits on Sunday, Albert Smith, who is a linebacker edge type out of Louisiana. And then also a specialist. Sounds like his future at ASU will be as a punter. And his name is Canyon Floyd out of Horizon High School. One of the best punters in this recruiting class. We get into how different it is to be recruited as a specialist, the challenges that go into that. Horizon's also pumped out some really good kickers and punters in the past couple of years. So talk about that pipeline. Charlie Ragel, integral in both of these recruitments. But we're going to catch up with Canyon here coming up next on the Brad Sesmat Show. We are here with ASU's latest commit, Canyon Floyd, a special teamser out of Horizon High School, another local commit for Kenny Dillingham and Charlie Ragel. Canyon, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And first off, congratulations about the commitment. What was it about the Sun Devils that made you want to commit to them?
Well, first off, it's the home team. It's a good team to play for. Got a whole new staff. I really like Charlie Ragel. He seems really passionate about the game, and he has a plan for me that I like. And I like what they've done with the specialists in the past. And there's a coach that named Steve Roush that I work with around here. And if I go to ASU like I am, I can still continue to work with him.
Mm-hmm. What is it about Charlie Ragel as a recruiter that makes him so effective? And, you know, really, it seems like you guys had a you know, the offer came in 2 weeks ago, and then, you know, you're committed. So how were they able to build a relationship so quickly with you?
So we went, when I got the offer, we went over to ASU and we had like a 2-hour talk with him, and he just showed me his plan for me and like made it seem like he really wanted me to go there. And that's just, I think it's good to go to a place you wanted at, and that's what made me want to go there.
Mm-hmm. Did you grow up an ASU fan?
Not really. I didn't really feel one way about them.
Okay. You know, and looking at your numbers, you know, great as a place kicker, but especially as a punter, averaging over 50 yards a punt. You know, how have you been able to really kind of develop your skill set over the past couple of years to get to this elite level that you're at?
Well, freshman year, I just played football because I played flag football in middle school and I wanted to. And my dad said I should be a kicker. So I did kicking and punting, and I just practiced a lot. We went a few times a week, and then I played safety freshman, sophomore year too. And then junior year, I decided I wanted to like focus on kicking because I was pretty good at it. And then I realized I was good at punting, and it's just practice that I kept doing that, and I just kept getting better and better.
Mm-hmm. You know, the recruiting process is a little bit different for specialists. Mm-hmm. You know, so can you just kind of take people through what that process is like and how it might be different from, you know, a different position on the field and their recruiting cycle and, you know, the similarities and the changes?
Yeah. So first of all, it's really hard to get a scholarship as a specialist. I think there's like, I don't know exactly, but there's like four or five, I think, that have been handed out so far for punters, and they're hard to come by, and no one's going to offer you unless they've seen you kick in person. So either having them come to your school or go to a camp is what's going to have you get the offer.
And, you know, ASU had, like you kind of, you said, they've had a great track record with specialists. You know, how much did that go into, you know, your decision and knowing that no matter like what the coaching staff has been over the past couple of years or past decades, it always seems like they have really good specialists. And, you know, what is it about ASU that you feel, you know, is such a great environment for specialists?
Yeah, I think first of all, it's like the best place you can kick or punt because we're at an okay elevation, but kicking in the heat just makes the ball go a lot farther and it's easier and there's not much wind here and it's pretty easy. And like you said, they've had really good success with the specialists, and it just seems like a good place to go.
On a similar note, Horizon has been like a factory for specialists. So, you know, I know Grady Gross was there, you know, not too long ago. Did watching his recruitment, you know, did you learn some lessons going through that you applied here?
Yeah, I think his and I were pretty different because he was by COVID. So a lot of stuff got messed up and all his stuff happened really late because he committed like, I want to say maybe January of his senior year. So I'm a little earlier than him, but yeah, watching him, like practicing with him for 1 year really helped see where I need to go.
Mm-hmm. What is it, do you think, about that Horizon program that sets up the specialists so well?
I just think we've gotten pretty lucky. I mean, we had a good coach. He's at UNC Charlotte now. He was our kickers coach, the same as Coach Contrado. He really helped us a lot. And well, he's not there anymore, but he set us up pretty well.
Mm-hmm. What do these next, you know, you still have your senior year. What do these next couple of months look like for you now that you have your decision made? You know, you, like you said, scholarships are hard to come by at this position group. You're able to get one, which is an accomplishment in itself. So what do the next couple of months look like leading into your season and then after to make sure whenever you get to Tempe, you're going to hit the ground running?
Yeah. So I'm just going to, whatever Coach Regal wants me to work on, I'm going to focus on that right now. It's shortening my steps so I don't take as much ground, and I'm focusing on that right now and trying to get my op time down. It's pretty much whatever Coach Regal wants me to focus on is what I'm going to do. And I'm done with all the recruiting now, so I'm just focused on that.
Well, congratulations again. This is Canyon Floyd, the newest ASU commit. And thanks so much for joining us, Canyon.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Appreciate Canyon jumping on with us to talk about his commitment. Congratulations to him. It's been really cool. ASU the past couple of years, and U of A for that matter, have had some really good special teams folks coming through, and you understand why they would want to come here. The weather is great. You can train all year. You have some really good facilities, some really good training out here where you can get the job done. So congratulations to Canyon. In a little bit, I'm going to be heading out to Cardinals OTAs, and just got me thinking. We talk so much about building of culture and, you know, the changes that have happened with the Suns, and how do you, you know, put that together with them? It happened so quickly, you know, these core pieces now, it felt like you were building the plane while you were flying it, you know, when Kevin Durant came in, didn't get a ton of time together on court. You know, Matt Ishbia putting his fingerprints all over the franchise, then moving on from Monty. Like it's been kind of band-aid rips almost in terms of like moving on from two really important players in the run in Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges and Jay Crowder for that matter, but bringing in a superstar. How does all that work? How does all that get revamped? How do you then tweak DeAndre Ayton's role? How do you tweak Chris Paul's role? Is can Chris Paul stay healthy in the postseason? Past couple times we've seen where that's been a factor. So like a crucial offseason for the Suns, but also a crucial offseason for the Arizona Cardinals. And, you know, Monty Austenfort, Jonathan Gannon, they're both trying to instill their culture and try to get guys, revamp a very, and these aren't necessarily my words. Like, we heard it straight from Daniel Jeremiah. We've heard it from a lot of people. Talent-wise, probably the thinnest roster in the NFL. So how do you change that? Seems like they've had good reviews on the draft that they just had. And not only that, you get that Houston pick for next year, and conceivably you could have two top five picks. If you're going to stick with Kyler, you can trade one of those, you know, maybe use one of them on Marvin Harrison Jr. There's a lot of navigating you can do. But what are they doing now to help kind of put those pillars in? That's what I'm going to be looking out for at OTAs later today. But it does feel like it's a little bit more of a slow burn. And I don't think, you know, we've seen some turnarounds in the NFL that have gone pretty quick. It can be as simple as get a quarterback and you can turn this around in about a year. That doesn't feel like the case with the Arizona Cardinals, and probably a big part of it is Kyler Murray's injury. So how quickly can he get back? What sort of talent are you putting around him? I think they did a nice job adding up front for both sides of the ball and adding some versatility. But it's also what's going to happen with these linebackers that they have now. You know, what's the future of Isaiah Simmons? They didn't pick up that option for him. It's a move to me that makes sense for a new group of, hey, go ball out and we'll give you the money that you deserve. But it's, again, you're turning the ship around in a canal. It's going to be a slow process. It's not going to be a zoop, like just turn it, you know, do the quick U-turn there. So what is that going to look like? The early stages of that, we're going to see here in a couple hours at OTAs. Not every question is going to be answered. Not everything is going to be, we're going to see a clear vision necessarily, but it's like an important first step. And like, you look at DraftKings, you look at the people that set odds, you know, two of the lowest win totals this year are the Arizona Cardinals and the Houston Texans. Now, that doesn't, you can't chalk that up to like, all right, that's exactly what's going to happen. There will be surprise teams. There will be surprise games throughout the season where, you know, someone comes in on their heels, and I think either one of these teams can take advantage of that. So, but you have some really good assets that you can work with next year. Now, how do you build that foundation and then, you know, really get going here in the next couple of years? But again, not going to be a 1-year project. I think it's going to take a couple of years to kind of put everything in place, but they've done about everything that they can correctly so far. Will that translate to wins? Probably not. We saw that with U of A. We are seeing that right now with ASU. I think Jed Fish and Kenny Dillingham both had very good first off seasons. We saw that that meant one win for U of A in Jed's first year. We don't know what that's going to look like for Kenny. We don't know what that's going to look like for the Cardinals, but it's not a one for one, you know, translation. But we've also seen the steps U of A's been able to make. Hopefully both of these other two teams can have that, can have a similar trajectory and build up relatively quickly. So once again, thank you to Canyon Floyd for jumping on with us, talking about his commitment. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Brad Sesmat Show. Everybody make sure you have a good day.